It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
All right, let's go quickly. We have a truncated Dr. Richard Pan this morning. We'll have a new time for you next week. Dr. Pan volunteering his time now for over a year to come on. And we're a sports show, but we're also real and local and live. And I thought it was important to get somebody who knows what they're talking about to talk to us about coronavirus and now his specialty, vaccinations and everything that goes with it. So we've got Doc for about 10 minutes because other than being a doctor, other than being a state senator, he's also a dad and has to, like many of us. And Matt, we talked about this earlier with you being having your first kid on the way. This is real life. You're also an Uber and an ATM machine. And he joins us right now, Dr. Pan. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning.
You know that's the truth, right? It's Uber, ATM, diaper changer, all of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, got past the diaper changer part, but I'm Ubering now. So kids starting, going back to school. So, yeah.
Well, we appreciate your time as always. We'll get right to it. Since we last talked, the big news of the week, the Johnson & Johnson, the one that I got was paused. I will never forget. I get up every morning around 3:30. The news broke around 4 a.m. our time. I immediately went, oh, my God, I don't even know what to buy. So I went to what everybody shouldn't do, WebMD, and looked up blood clot symptoms to see if I had any. You know, I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, my God. Then I read, okay, hold on. This happened, I think it was 6 or 7 people. They were all women. It was all within 2 weeks. You start reading more of the news, like, oh, okay, like look at blood clots in COVID, look at blood clots in birth control pills, look at blood clots in smokers. So we've gotten a little more information. I'm rambling, but let me give you a direct question. Doc, if you were in charge, if you were the czar of vaccinations for the United States, would you have paused the Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
Look, it makes sense to pause because safety is the top priority. So I hope people understand that the reason it was done was to be sure that the vaccines are absolutely safe. As you point out, that there were only 6 cases in over 7 million of the J&J vaccine given. So this is less than 1 in a million. And when you think about the number of people who have died of COVID itself, and we're talking out of a million, probably about 1,000, over 1,000, I guess like 1,500 or so people per million. So clearly the vaccine, even if the vaccine had anything, even if, but we don't know for sure, had anything to do with the clots, then it's certainly a lot safer, 1,000 times fold safer than the disease itself. However, we don't want to be administering a vaccine where it might be causing some of these serious clots. So they're putting a pause on the J&J. We still are giving Pfizer and Moderna. That tells you how closely we're monitoring all these vaccines to pick up something that is as rare as less than 1 in a million.
So isn't that kind of a battle? You've been, I mean, you want to talk about a battle. You've been battling vaccine education before, long before COVID ever came out. And in back rooms with doctors and scientists and government officials, is that kind of a battle you think that's constantly going on right now? You want to be transparent. You want the public to have full confidence that their safety is going to be looked out for. But then at the same time, you're like, oh, my God, this is going to start all these memes and things. And everyone's going to be like, see, I told you so. And maybe in the end, even though you're being honest and transparent for confidence levels, it ends up doing more harm than good, at least mentally for the public.
Well, I have the confidence and that the public, Americans, can handle the truth, right?
Right.
And it is challenging because, unfortunately, there are people out there who try to exaggerate, mislead people. So, of course, you take a little kernel of the truth and you turn it into something that's not true by exaggerating or adding other things that aren't necessarily accurate around it, so to try to scare people. But I do think Americans can handle the truth. They could handle the truth about COVID itself and how dangerous it is. They can handle the truth about vaccines and how safe they are. And hopefully this gives people actually confidence that when you're being administered a vaccine, so when you go and say, oh, I can't get the J&J today, but I can get Moderna and Pfizer, you know how carefully we're keeping an eye on these vaccines to be sure that if you get them, that you're going to be safe.
Hey, Dr. Pan, this is Matt George. Good to talk to you again. It's been a little bit. As much as I want to take over this interview and ask you for fatherly advice, I will let you know, yesterday I went through the process of getting my first of the two vaccine shots, the Pfizer, and I was amazed by how fluid and smooth the system was, and I'm not just sugarcoating things. I was in and out of there in 20 to 25 minutes. The line was moving constantly. The system was so well-polished. I'm just curious, I guess the pride that you feel in that, how much work it was, how much experimenting it was to get it to that level, to get it to that smoothness, or is this something that even before the vaccine rollout was available, preparations have been made for things like this really for a while? It looked that way.
Well, no. I mean, people worked very hard to make this happen. And if you think about it, when we started off, it was a bit challenging. And I'm not saying everything's perfect right now either. So in order to reach many people, we're going to have to go beyond having sites like you went to where people are coming. We're going to have to go find people as well. And then we are also going to have to convince some of the people who may have questions about the vaccine and still haven't gotten the answers they want to be able to convince them to get vaccinated as well. So, no, this is a result of a lot of hard work. Certainly very proud of the people who have set up these vaccination sites to try to make them as efficient and smooth as possible. But in order for us to actually reach all the people we need to reach, we've got to work even harder to get the vaccines to them and also get them the information, accurate information that they need.
Dr. Richard Pan joining us. Doc, last question for you. It's something I don't think we've broached almost every subject. I don't know that we've broached this one. I was reading some pretty interesting stuff this week, and it was breaking down percentages of people who either have gotten or will get the vaccination. And it was breaking it down by political party. We've seen that quite a bit. But where it really caught my eye was breaking it down based on income and based on ethnicity. And what jumped off the page to me was communities of color and lower income communities and the higher rates of whether it's fear, whether it's trepidation that exists in these communities. And when you look even deeper, especially in communities of color, you can understand some of that trepidation when it comes to the government and things like this. What are some of the things that you're seeing being done or maybe some of the things you'd like to see done to help really, you know, it's such a tragedy that some of the communities that are most affected by some of these horrible things also are some of the communities most trepidatious in following through and getting that vaccination. We've got to stop that cycle. So how do you try to solve that?
Well, first of all, we need to make vaccines available to them. So that's actually the first barrier when you're talking about particularly communities where there's lower income, there's less information available. You know, they're not the ones on broadband all the time because they have less limited access to broadband. You need to reach out to people in that community who are trusted leaders of that community as well, which is something we're doing. And in fact, if you actually see more recent polling data, the disparities of vaccine hesitancy by race actually has decreased considerably. But it's important that we continue to communicate, that we reach out, we make vaccines available to them. That's the first part, because a lot of times we're not doing such a good job with that. So when we talked about how smooth and efficiently we're giving vaccines, we need to be more active in getting to people who it's a little hard for them to get around. There's fewer sites available in their neighborhoods, et cetera. Give them more options so we can get vaccines to them. And then we also need to communicate through trusted messengers. So because just doing a TV or radio ad isn't going to cut it with this population. But unfortunately, highest rates of hesitancy are actually not in those particular groups that you talked about. But unfortunately, there's an ideological division. Yep. So white Republican men have the highest rate. However, I should point out, even among them, a majority of them actually plan to get vaccinated. So just for all those people who are going, I wonder whether I should get vaccinated or not. Keep in mind that a majority of white Republican men do want to get vaccinated.
Evangelicals, I see, too. There's an issue there as well. So you cross fingers, right? And the sooner it gets done, the sooner we can get back to normal. Mm-hmm. And as you and I laughed about yesterday, the sooner you can have your mornings freed up to go do things other than listen to me yammer at you all morning long. So, but we appreciate it. I made you a promise. It's 8:14. So, you got to go be a daddy, but we appreciate you each and every morning. And, we'll talk to you at our new time, next Wednesday.
Yes.
So,
right. So we're going to move to Wednesday because, that happens to line up with the school schedule. So looking forward to joining you on Wednesdays now. And, just again, for everyone, please try to get, we've opened it up to anyone over 16. Doesn't mean you can get a vaccine right away, but please sign up. We can get everyone vaccinated. I'm looking forward to that time we talked about when we can go to Kings games in Golden One.
Amen, Doc. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you in just a few days. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you. All right, take care.
That's Dr. Richard Pann. You can go to his website, Dr. Richard Pann, like Dr. Richard Pann. .com also same name, same at on Twitter as well. All right. How do you segue out of coronavirus, talk back to sports? I'll show you.
I'm waiting.
So the Kings have lost 8-9 in a row. It will almost certainly be 10 in a row on Sunday. And then, by the way, they have a home and home versus Minnesota, who they just lost to. I mean, we don't know. This could be longer.
Can Kings fans get vaccinated from losing?
Let me ask you, we were talking about Luke Walton, the coaching staff, and how we both agree. Like, I said if they lose to the Wizards, that if there is a clock that's going to start on that coaching staff during this season, it would start then. We both agree that there's overwhelming odds the coaching staff's going to make it to the end of the year. I think they're for sure gone at the end of the year. You mostly think they're gone at the end of the year, but hold out a bit of trepidation there.
I think the only chance he has to keep his job is not losing the players. You think he has lost the players at this point in time?
I want to provide context for those just joining us. I think the locker room is still together. I think they still love and respect Luke Walton. I don't think they're executing his vision.
Got you. So that's good context, because to me, I think the only way he is definitively fired, like for sure it's absolutely happening, is if he does lose that player respect,
sure,
which I disagree with based off of our conversation last segment. But I don't think
that's
going to
happen. What
do you
mean by you disagree with? Like that he hasn't lost them? So we agree that he has not lost.
No, I disagree with the idea that Luke Walton and any head coach would be fired again based off of how the players in the locker room feels about him. The same way that Jaeger was fired because the players in the locker room didn't necessarily like him, even though he actually got results out of them.
Sure.
So,
but let me ask you this. The Sacramento Kings have lost. The Sacramento Kings have lost.
I know that music.
9 in a row. It's going to be 10 in a row.
Yep.
Now let me update you real quick while we're there. Let me update you on the Tankathon standings here. I do this every day with Jay.
I did my first one last night. First one of the year.
The Sacramento Kings are now, I think, in a three-way tie with the Raptors and Wizards for the seventh spot.
Woohoo!
They're a game and a half behind the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then this is really important, too. They are a game and a half behind the Oklahoma City Thunder. And let me get this right here. The Kings, they're a game and a half. Yes, that's exactly right. They're a game and a half, both the Thunder and the Cavs. The Cavs are in that magic five spot. The Thunder are tied in that magic five spot. Kings have three more games against OKC.
Yep.
Might be a really good time, and I know he'd hate it, for De'Aaron Fox to develop tendonitis of the pinky toe. And Tyrese Halliburton too.
At this rate, Fox might have an actual injury.
I know, right?
He's getting clobbered every night.
Yeah, seriously, he might have a concussion. God forbid. That was just absolutely garbage. So here's my question, part one. The Kings have lost 9 in a row. They have played 56 games. There are 16 left.
Mm-hmm.
If the Kings were to lose 25 games in a row to end the season, again, I know it's not going to happen, but I'm being extreme here.
Move aside, Rockets.
No, I've already said this before, by the way. I personally believe if they lost every game the rest of the year, they would not catch the Timberwolves, Rockets, or Pistons.
I just mean passing the Rockets because they lost 20 in a row this year, right?
But would Luke Walton and the coaching staff still be there at the end of the year if he had to bet money? Lose 25. They don't win a game the rest of the year.
No.
No, so what's the line then?
I think if
15?
I think if the Kings lose like 15 or 16 in a row, to save face, the organization fires Luke Walton with a pat on the butt out the door saying, you done good.
So six or seven more games, they lose their next six or seven in a row, you think? What if they lose 23 out of the last 25?
With a two-game win streak in there?
No. Let's say they split with Minnesota and they win one of those Oklahoma City games.
I think Luke makes it to the end of the year.
Okay. So they'd have to lose 25 in a row.
Pretty much.
So here's the other question. Are the Kings tanking?
I hate tanking, and I hate so much, and I know you're putting me in a corner here to say what I hate that I'm going to say.
Let me help you out before you answer. I don't think they're tanking.
I don't think they're tanking either.
I think they're trying to win.
What I hate, yes, I think they're trying to win too. What I hate is that I want them to. Mm-hmm. And I've never, ever, 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 ever in my life wanted this team to tank. Mm-hmm. But I want them to at this point in time because let's put it this way. I like that Monty McNair and the Kings, even if it went away from their original plan coming into the season, I like that they picked a direction at the trade deadline. They said, you know what? Wins are what matters. They made it very clear for us.
Yeah.
Since that point, they've gone on a nine-game losing streak. Sorry, it's going to be 10. It's probably going to be more than that.
2-8 since?
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I hear what you're saying.
There's been a nine-game losing streak since they made that decision.
Yep.
Unless they win 12 out of these final 16 games, in my mind, they're not getting in.
No.
So it's been a failure. So while you have time, you already know you failed. Like, you already know you haven't gotten there. So instead of continuing to try and fail through that path, why not try and salvage it by going for as best of a draft pick as you can instead of saying, we're going to stick to our guns and stick to the plan no matter what, and finishing with the 9th or 10th or 11th pick. Like, that's where I'm at, and I hate myself for being there, but that's where I'm at.
So do you think it's the proper move right now for Monty McNair and Luke Walton to start resting top guys, to start putting Robert Woodard and a lot of these other young guys, Kyle Guy, Jamius Ramsey?
Here's what's wild. Like, I don't know if the Kings have to make massive rotational changes in order to continue to lose.
I don't know. Well, obviously,
I want Fox and Halliburton to keep playing together. But if Harrison Barnes has to take a night off every two games, or Rashawn Holmes doesn't come back from his injury.
I was just going to say, Rashawn Holmes, there's an easy one right there.
Shut him down for the season.
Shut him down for
Marvin
the year.
Marvin Bagley, shut him down for the year.
I already think he's shut down
even,
for the year.
Even if Marvin Bagley did come back, though, I don't know how much winning he'd actually help the
Kings. I mean, honestly, Marvin Bagley, that's a great point. Bagley might actually help in the tank.
I don't think the Kings need to outright change what they're doing in order to tank. I think they just need to dial it back a little bit. Don't have Fox play 40 minutes a night anymore. Have him play 20. Have him and Tyrese Halliburton, or 25. Have him and Tyrese Halliburton start together, for God's sakes. Who gives a damn what Buddy Hield feels about it?
Right.
And just get them playing time together. Give Robert Woodard, Jamias Ramsey some playing time, Kyle Guy some playing time, and dial back Hassan Whiteside. I know you love him. Dial back.
Who do I love?
Hassan Whiteside.
Oh, yeah.
Dial back Harrison Barnes. Like, dial these guys back. It doesn't matter. Like, give DeLon Wright playing time, because I believe he's going to be on the team next year.
Sure.
I mean, I guess give the other new guys a chance. Chris Silva, give him some chance. I don't know. I'm convinced that this team, at the end of this summer, half of this roster is going to be gone. Like, I think Fox will still be here, Halliburton will still be here, Barnes will still be here. After that, massive question mark. Hopefully Rashawn Holmes will still be here. Like, I'm praying this offseason Buddy Hield is gone, Marvin Bagley is gone, and the Kings make some serious decisions about whether or not Kyle Guy or Robert Woodard or Jamias Ramsey are even worth the time.
You know, when Marvin Bagley got hurt against Charlotte, the very next game they started their 7-8. They went 7-1 out of their next 8. Now they've lost 9 in a row.
Yeah.
Was Marvin Bagley the key to the Kings winning?
No. No. The key to the Kings winning is playing consistent basketball, which they don't know what that word means.
By the way, it's Jamias Ramsey. I said something off.
Oh.
So you can do this in a way. Let me finish that real quick. Did Monty? I know hindsight's 20/20. Did Monty McNair make an incorrect decision in not trading assets and going into tank mode at the trade deadline?
I still think it's undetermined. Okay. And a big determining factor of that is going to be if they're able to re-sign Rashawn Holmes. Because I would hate for them to have added the salary that they add in DeLon Wright and the other moves that they've made, and it fail short-term with them not making the play-in tournament, and then it fail again with them not having enough money to re-sign Rashawn Holmes. That would be a big L to me. I think
if they don't sign Rashawn Holmes, that is the biggest failure of Monty's tenure with the Kings.
Yeah, and if we had more time to talk about this, because we have to break here, I would love to talk to you about this more. Because to me, this offseason, like, welcome to the fire, Monty. He's kind of gotten a pass for most of this first year because he came in late, COVID, inherited the Vlade Divac roster and the Vlade Divac coaching staff. Like, this summer, spotlight is completely on Monty McNair. And he has to know that he's blameless when it comes to the past 15 years of the Kings being terrible.
Right.
But inheriting this job, you also inherit the impatience of the fan base and the fact that this team has been bad for so long that a 3 to 4 year rebuild is not in the cards, especially when you just gave De'Aaron Fox a max contract. Like, these guys want to start winning right away. So this summer, everything is going to be graded like on pins and needles, if that makes sense. Everything is going to be, to me, over-evaluated, and we're going to judge Monty McNair's possibly career as the guy, the general manager, based off this summer, in my opinion. Because if the Kings are going to do what they say they're going to do, which is compete for a playoff spot, a solidified playoff spot next year, this summer is going to have to be massive.
Which sucks, because every other GM knows that, and every other GM knows that Monty does not have the one club in his bag that every GM needs to have, which is the ability to be disciplined and patient.
Yep.
They're going to know he needs to make moves this summer.
Yep.
And so he's going to be dealing from that, because bottom line is, as you said, the heat is on Monty McNair.
And you know who's getting a piece of that pressure too? Who? Not to cut you off. Ownership. I think ownership is feeling that pressure too. I think ownership is going to start to feel that pressure. I know you've had a conversation about this with Jay before.
That's a whole different conversation.
Which is why I bring it up. Yeah. But I think ownership is going to feel the pressure as well.
I think they already are. I think the heat's on ownership. I think the heat's on Monty McNair. And I'm guessing the source of that probably is get the name wrong, Dave. It's Cinch.
It was almost so good.
It was so there.
0-for-2.
Well, the problem is that I'm going to blame you.
Yeah, that's okay.
Because you wrote their real, like, the mothership's name on here instead of Cinch. And so
that's my fault.
But it's also my fault because I Ron Burgundy'd my way through. And
I mean, it's your endorsement and the client that you love and you're willingly going to endorse, but I'll take it.
Second time I fumbled.
You got one more.
I'm going to see MC on the YouTube chat. It's going to be very professional, Dave. Idiot. Well, what is very professional is Cinch Propane.
Nice.
It's not amateur paint. It's propane. I've told you this before. All you got to do. I was talking to, I'll remain nameless. But a name you all know here in town connected with the Kings. Not a player. Not a coach. And he says, is that, I get this a lot. Hey, dude, I know, like, you have to say nice things, but, like, is that really a good deal? I'm like, no, dude, I swear to God, I use it all the time. It's so simple. You go to cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H. You tell them how many tanks you need to either exchange or if you want to buy a new tank. Within 2 days, they drop it off on your front porch. There's no subscription. There's no minimum buy. Well, I mean, I guess one tank is the minimum, but what are you going to do, buy no tanks? Like, there's no spam, emails, nothing. And yes, you could have one of the different brands of propane tanks. They'll take that and they'll give you a Cinch tank. It's that simple. It's so easy. It's cheaper than the gas station. I don't know what to tell you other than what I've spent the last minute telling you. Go to cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H, cinch.com, promo code Dave, cinch.com, promo code Dave.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, coming up next, final half hour of the program. Vroom, vroom. We're going real fast now. News with Ed Crane for the final time this week. Then Once in a Blue Moon with Matt George. And we'll also revisit what we talked about a little bit earlier. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Hall of Fame ceremony. This is going to be great. All coming up right after this.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
These people talk
endlessly, incessantly. They have a very high number of words per minute.
On Sports 1140 KHTK.
916-339-1140 is your text line. Matt George in for Jay Mars today. Jay will be back next Monday, and if all goes right, and that's above my pay grade, Matt will join Jay for the final hour this coming Monday. I still have not cleared that with anybody, but hopefully I got to take my dad to a very important medical procedure.
We'll be optimistic. Jay yes. and Matt in the morning returns for 1 hour only.
1 hour. Well, you're going to get plenty of Jay and Matt in the mornings here come summertime. So, yeah.
Great.
You start prepping for that. From the 916, if I'm Monty McNair, I bring Marvin Bagley back and center the whole offense around him. See if he can have a 22-10 stretch and see if another GM thinks that's legit. That makes no sense to me.
Nope.
Because, Matt, if he has a 22-10 stretch, why would you want to trade him at that point?
Well, even if he does, to me, it's just empty statistics. But my whole issue that I have with this text is no GM is that stupid. They're not going to look at the sample size of on a bad team at the end of the year when the team is outright really not even trying anymore, right, and they're giving multiple opportunities for Marvin Bagley to showcase himself like he's at an AAU game.
Right.
Like, no GM is that stupid to go, oh, now I'm more willing to give up a big package. Every GM in the league knows that Marvin Bagley is going to be available. Every GM knows that both sides want a split, and his value is going to be low because of it. Like, the Kings want a first-round pick. They're going to be lucky to get a late first for him. I mean, you saw what the Pistons turned down. Like,
allegedly
turned down. So, to me, there's nothing that you can do to Marvin Bagley or with Marvin Bagley at this point that will increase his value. He is what he is, and I think he can be successful going elsewhere if he can stay healthy, whether it's a bench role or starter role. Doesn't matter. I think Marvin can be successful. Maybe not successful to the standards of a number two pick, but he can be successful. Regardless, Monty McNair, it's not his pick, and McNair, I think, knows that he's not going to get really much more than pocket change for Bagley at this point in time. The biggest win of moving on from Bagley is moving on from the either 11 or 13 million that's attached to him.
Speaking of the Kings and speaking of picks, as we said earlier, the Kings are in a tie right now with the Raptors and the Wizards for the number 7, 8, and 9 picks. We simulate the lottery once a day, and as always, here we go. The Sacramento Kings have moved down one spot. Tactically, number 9, Keon Johnson of Tennessee.
Yeah.
The Bulls get the number 1 pick. They move up 9 spots.
So,
yeah.
I take ownership of that because in my first simulation last night, same thing happened. Kings went down to 9. The San Antonio Spurs moved up 12 spots to get the number 1 pick.
That would suck.
So, it's on me. The Kings moving down to 9 is my fault. I own that.
So, let me ask you this. The Chicago Bulls win the number 1 pick. They get Cade Cunningham, right? That's the and I'll be on number 1 pick of the draft. If the Chicago Bulls called you up and you were the GM of the Sacramento Kings and they offered you the number 1 pick in the draft, Cade Cunningham, they offered you the number 1 pick for De'Aaron Fox, what do you do?
Oh, I hate you. God, I think I say yes. I think I say yes because it puts, not that the Halliburton-Fox timeline is so egregiously different, but it frees up the cap space. But that actually isn't a win now move, really.
All right,
or maybe it is. I don't know. Okay. Hell.
I just wanted to mess with your brain.
Damn you.
I will tell you this. For the second year in a row, it looks like we're going to be dangerously close as we lead up to the draft. For the second year in a row, last year there were two. This year there's one. We're going to get dangerously. You want to know who I think is going to be the Kings draft pick this year when it's all said and done? Scotty Barnes.
I knew it.
Of course. Because we last year, on Vassell and what's his face, we ended up getting Halliburton. But I don't know if 2 years in a row we're going to avoid the Florida State guy. I think we're getting the Florida State guy this year. That's so, when it's all said and done, that's what I'm putting my money on.
No, we need optimism. What's going to happen is the Kings, at the end of this year, they're going to continue to try and win.
Right.
They're going to lose their coin flip tiebreaker, whatever it is, to get the 8th or 9th pick.
And then
lottery odds are going to move them up to, like, top 3.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm speaking into existence.
Remember I told you the Bulls got the number 1 pick?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that it was that Bulls, when they beat the Bulls at the end of the year, that put them in the coin flip? The coin flip happened. They moved up to number 2.
Yep.
And drafted Marvin Bagley.
Well,
remember that?
We don't need that last part.
Once in a blue moon.
Monty McNair's here now. He won't make that same mistake.
Once in a blue moon right now.
Once in a Blue Moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Nope, wrong. It's Matt George.
Wrong.
By the way, it was Scott Moak giving me the pronunciation. And it was Scott Moak who was asking me about Cinch. True stories.
Anyway, hi, Scott Moak.
Hey, Scott. How are you doing?
Why don't you ever text me, you jerk?
He doesn't like you.
Two things. You told me that. Two things for Once in a Blue Moon. One is Kings related and one is not. Okay. The Kings related one. De'Aaron Fox is averaging a career high in points, threes, efficient field goal percentage, and true shooting percentage, or rather effective field goal percentage. Uh-huh. This season. He also leads the entire league in fourth quarter scoring.
Uh-huh.
So that's interesting to know.
Get him some help.
Of course, the Kings are 22-34.
Right.
But here's the real one. Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Hey.
Hit a 456-foot home run last night in Kansas City, the longest of his young career. His pops, Vladimir Guerrero Sr., hit one home run that long in Kansas City in his career.
Mm-hmm.
It came on May 1st, 2007, and off of Zach Greinke.
Hey, so, how's your Greinke? Look at that.
There you go.
Look
like,
at that.
Like father, like son.
I got a follow-up Kings stat for you.
Ah, Scott Moak texted me. He says hi.
For the first time in NBA history, a team has gone on a 7-1 stretch followed by a 9-game losing streak twice in the same season. Probably. I didn't do any research on that.
I believe you.
But, like, honestly, that's got to be a record, right? Like, we're making up records, but that's got to be a record, right?
I want the Kings to hang a banner for what happened in the Washington game where they scored 30-something points off of 20-something turnovers and
yeah.
still lost by double yeah. digits. I want them to hang a banner for that because that's nuts. I don't know if that'll ever be done.
I mean, honest to God, I got to think. First off, teams winning 7 of 8 twice in a year, probably. Sure, that's happened a few times. And I'm talking specifically 7 of 8, not 7 of 8. And then they went on to that 7 of 8 became, you know, 9 of 10. No, I'm talking the entire streak was 7 of 8.
Right.
So that's happened a few times, but twice in a year. Okay. That's happened a few less, but we've still probably got a handful. And then went 7 of 8 and lost 9 in a row. I'd be willing to say that's happened before. Somebody got injured. Something crazy happened. But to win 7 of 8 twice in the same season and lose 9 in a row directly following that in the same season, like.
Maybe the Kings are consistent.
Just the whole 7 of 8 and then not, it's 7, 8, 9. At least there's some sort of form there.
Maybe they are consistent. Maybe they fooled us all.
Which is why I strangely. Like, last night I thought was an absolute lock that we were going to lose in
oh,
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Absolute lock.
Oh, yeah.
I still overwhelmingly think that the Kings are going to lose in Dallas. But come Monday, I am going to put this caveat out there. I have a better feeling about this game from a win standpoint than I did when they played Washington at home.
Oh, for sure.
For two reasons. Number one, symmetry. If they lose to Dallas, it's a 10-game losing streak. I'm a big believer in this stuff. It would be just like the Kings to beat Dallas and have us all go, well, if you could beat Dallas, why couldn't you beat Minnesota? And now you have the two separate 9-game losing streaks. It's not a 10-game, it's a 9-game. And number two, they weirdly enough seem to show up most of the time against the Dallas Mavericks. It's a weird thing. Now, am I correct? I don't think they've played Dallas this year.
Yes, they have once.
They did?
I'm pretty sure.
Let me see.
Earlier in the second half? I could be wrong. They didn't play him in the first half.
Let me look. Dallas.
Maybe not. No, because they play him 3 more times to end the season. So you're right.
That's true. Yeah, they.
You are correct.
Yeah, they play him 3 times here real quick. So that's weird. Also, haven't. Yeah, 3 against.
I think I'm thinking
City
of the bubble.
Well.
They played him in the bubble.
They did play them in the bubble. Let's look at their last few. Let's see if I'm just dreaming this up. Let's look at their last few against Dallas. Okay, December 8th last year, they beat Dallas 110-106 in Dallas. The next game they played in Dallas, that was home, they lost 127-123. That was a 4-point loss.
I want to say Luke is like 2-3 or 2-4 against the Kings in his career.
Well, that's 1-1 there. They got blown out in Dallas February 12th. They lost by 19. And then home against Dallas, they lost in overtime by 4.
Okay, maybe I'm way off.
So that's what was that, 1-3 last year?
I'm already off.
Okay, let me one more thing here. Let me look, because I feel like they generally play Dallas well, but let me.
They won the first two meetings against Dallas, Luka's rookie year.
So they beat Dallas that rookie year. They beat Dallas 121-113 in Dallas. So now that's 2-4 versus Luka. And they, scrolling, this is great radio. They beat Dallas 116-100 March 21st.
Glad I remember that.
And then they beat Dallas in Dallas again, 125-121 Tuesday, March 26th. So they were 1-4 and 4-4 versus Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. Wait, hold on. That's 3 years.
Yeah.
So again, it's not the same team. Trends don't mean too much to me, but I'm just telling you, lost 9.
I love how your brain works. You would have been a phenomenal professional baseball player to cover in the media.
Oh, just I would have been so superstitious.
Your superstitions, 100%. You would have come up with the craziest things that would have been amazing to follow.
1,000,000,000%. Like every time I get in my car, I'd have to like put my seatbelt on twice.
Same meal, but a specific temperature before every game.
Right.
Like
if I turn my left hand signal while I'm driving, I have to like scratch my face on the right side. But listen, superstitions are a way of keeping you safe. And for example, when you're doing something like driving, you want to stay safe. And one of those ways to stay safe is to get yourself a nice big truck from my good friends at Hoblet.
He did it.
There we go. Finally a transition. Ram Truck Month has been extended. Lots of savings expected from Hoblet. Two ways to save up to $7,000 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 1500 Pro Cab, 0% financing for 72 months. How about heavy duties? Save up to $4,000 off MSRP on those new 2021 Ram 25 and 3500 heavy duties. Plus, a Hoblet-only interest rate has been negotiated just for Hoblet customers. 2.49% financing for 84 months. That's 7 years. That's the first time in all my years of doing this I've heard of a dealership going out negotiating a better deal just for their customers. But not surprising. That's what you get from Hoblet, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram. See for yourself. Stop by the Hoblet Ram Truck Center or search, select, and save with their online shopping option at Hoblet Dodge. HobletDodge.com. Best prices, best selection. Period. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Woo, that's loud.
Coming up next.
That's loud. My gosh. What's on tap? We'll let you know what's going on this weekend and tonight. And then we got a crossover, I think. Okay, we do have a crossover from Jason Duggan. We'll ask one as well. All coming up right after this.
Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
New Parents.
New Parents. They're funny.
What's happening?
Nope.
Also new board ops.
New at their job. There's supposed to be a music bed there, isn't it?
So there is supposed to be a music bed. You know what? I can do it. I can do it for you. Play hold it. On here. Let's see. What's a good... Oh, you know what? I know what I'll do.
Jay, come back, please.
No. That's fine. Let me see here. I've got it saved.
Oh, there it is. I got it. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Brought to you by New Parents.
New Parents. Great job. New parents are cute to me. And I say this because when my wife and I were new parents, we did all the same stuff. And then you become veteran parents, and it's just like rookies. Like, the vets all were rookies at one point. But when they become vets, they look at the rookies, and they haze them, and they laugh at them.
So there's new parent hazing?
The new parent hazing is all done by the child.
I'm in a perpetual state of hazing with you.
That is true.
Can I get out of it?
Well, you will eventually, but just so you know, I was in a much longer perpetual state of hazing from Grant, from Mike Lamb, from Whitey Gleason,
right.
Dawn.
Right.
I went through decades of hazing. And you, by the way, Matthew, you will haze somebody someday as well.
I can't wait.
New parents are great. Let's take Katie Christensen, for example, when she had her baby a couple years ago. Like, the kid would, like, scratch its ear, and it would be an Instagram story. Hey, look, she's eating cereal. And to new parents, that's super cute. You're going to do the same thing. Everything will be on tape. It's very funny because my daughter, almost every single thing she's ever done has been filmed or photographed and either was put on Facebook or saved. My son, by the time we got to the second child, was like, oh, yeah, great, dude, you're eating carrots. That's super great.
I have a single, my mom's a single mom, and I'm an only child, and she has videos of me from age zero to about
25.
Seven.
Right, then it gets boring. Then you're like, yeah, okay, great, yeah, we get it. And then you're going to end up watching other parents. And you're like, yeah, dude, we get it. Your kid did the thing. Like, that's awesome. Great. Yeah, we've been there, done that. Nobody cares. Also, one more thing about new parents, too. Let's be honest. We were this way. You know, not all babies are cute. Some people have ugly babies. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
Like, my son was a goofy-ass looking kid for, like, 2 years. But we would, like, apologize. We'd, like, show pictures to people. We'd be like, we know he looks goofy. Like, it's totally cool you can say it. They'd be like, oh, my God, no, he's so cute. How can you even say that? We're like, yeah, right, dude, come on. He's got a giant potato head. He's a ginger, and he's got tiny little, he looks like a T-Rex.
I beg my son looks like my wife and not me. I don't want to ruin
oh,
him.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm in the, yeah, I was in the same ballpark as you.
So, here's a question.
Yeah.
Do new parents have to earn the respect of old parents or like veteran parents?
Is yeah, that
like,
a, bit,
like I have to earn bit, parent
bit.
Respect?
But you know what? Rely on those older parents because they've been in that hole before. They know the way out.
Okay.
I'm still being, but right now, I'm a parent to a 13 and 12 year old. You know who I'm talking to? Talking to people whose kids are either have been teenagers or out of the house now. It just moves along the older the kids get. It never gets old.
How much are you panicking about college funds?
I'm not panicking about college funds so much as I'm panicking about dating and stuff.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Prom dates.
My kids are so sheltered. I've kept them as perfect little innocent angels. They're nowhere near ready for all the dirty-ass kids that are out there right now. And by the way, as a parent, you're also going to think this way, too. Every parent feels this way. Every other kid is some dirty-ass kid that sucks.
Yeah.
And you don't want them infecting your kids
yeah.
or her. Every parent feels that way, looks down on all other kids.
Has Avery had a crush yet that you've just completely shut down?
Not that I know.
Oh.
Better not. The only thing that she, you know, no, as far as I'm concerned, she's still into Hello Kitty and, you know, whatever.
Parents.
Yeah. What's on tap? Let's start with baseball tonight on the Sporty 1140. The A's looking to make it. Hey, look, it's a team on a winning streak. What's that like?
Woohoo!
Seven in a row versus the Detroit Tigers. Frankie Montas, 1-1 with an 8.31 ERA.
Well, you know
versus
what,
You
know what just scared me?
What?
The A's were on a 5-game winning streak.
Yeah?
When the Kings were on a 5-game winning streak, A's it turned were... into, oh, God.
The Gigantics back in action tonight. A little afternoon baseball, just an early game. They're in Miami taking on the Marlins. By the way, I also had a I was going to ask you this earlier. You can fade down the music now. I know. I was going to ask you this earlier. I'm going to be this is on my radar now. Is Madison Bumgarner washed? He's 31. That's not that old. But he's 0-2 with an 11.20 ERA.
I think he's an end-of-the-rotation guy.
He's 0-2 with an 11.20 ERA. And last year in a truncated season, let's go month by month, he started out with a 4.09 ERA in July. In August, his ERA was 18.47 and then back down to 4.44. He has not looked good.
No.
And I know, yes, I'm a Giants fan too, so everybody chill. Right now, every Giants fan is like, but get him in the playoffs, bro. Well, I don't think that's happening with the Diamondbacks. Not this year. The Sacramento Kings will be off until Sunday.
Mercy. A Friday and Saturday night to do something fun.
Yeah. They'll take on the Mavericks. That game will be at 4:30. Pre-game at 3 o'clock right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. How about Phoenix? A 2-game lead on the Clippers who have won 7 straight. Phoenix Suns are right there and win the Pacific Division with the Clippers and Lakers behind them.
I love the Suns. Everything about the Suns I love.
Well, here's the other thing about the Suns that I wish the Kings had more of, unfortunately. They have two of the most annoying players on the planet in Devin Booker and Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They're both a-holes, dude. Like, straight up. Like, not, I'm not talking about personally. I'm talking about on the court. And as much of an a-hole as Chris Paul is, Devin Booker's actually a bigger one.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is like giving Devin Booker right now the Yoda training on the, how to be the ultimate troll a-hole right now. Devin Booker's going to be out of control next year. Crossover, Jason and Doug right now.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Ow, reaching over and hitting play hurts.
Okay, Dave and Matt, question for you guys today on the crossover. Want to put each of you at your current age, current abilities, into the four major sports. And here's how I'm going to do it. Let's put you in the NHL for a full season
Doug.
As a goalie. Let's put you in the Major League Baseball on a team, batting third and playing shortstop, a full season. A full season playing quarterback in the National Football League, or a full season playing point guard in the NBA. Now, the question isn't which would you like the most. The question is, which one do you think you could possibly have the most success in of those four things? Goalie in the NHL for a full season, batting third, playing shortstop in the in baseball, playing point guard in the NBA, or a quarterback in the NFL for a full season on all of those. Where do you have the most success?
Okay, so there's a very obvious answer here, but I want to be very clear. It would still be an unmitigated failure. And I'm not disrespecting the position in any way, shape, or form.
Me too.
It would be horrible. I would be the worst in history by far. It's not even close. But I think the obvious answer is hockey goalie.
For you? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm big. I'll get fatter. It's like the old sumo wrestler in there. You have now, listen, I don't want pucks flying at my face. I don't want anything flying at my face. But I feel like at least I'd have a whole team in front of me to help. Dude, in baseball, I would strike out 150,000 times. Every time a ball got hit to me as shortstop, I'd be like, ah! In football, yeah, right, dude. As long as I could just hand the ball off, I'm good. But that's it. And I think defenses have figured that out in 5 minutes. And then in basketball, point guard, like, yeah, I'll just pass, but I'm not doing anything else.
This is an unfair question because J. Ross knows this is meant to make us look terrible. I would be the only goalkeeper in the
By the way, I heard Doug go, pfft.
No, that was me.
Oh, that was you? Oh, sorry, Doug. I apologize. I thought that was Doug.
I would be the first NHL goalkeeper in history to make the goal look big.
Uh-huh.
You'd just be see floating pads and a little body swimming in there somewhere. Baseball, my answer is going to be baseball because I think I could be halfway decent on defense. I couldn't hit anything.
Wow.
Basketball, the only shot I have is blocking shots and not going to do that as a point guard, and I can't handle the ball forever. I have no left hand.
No.
And quarterback, please. If I get hit once, I'm done for the career.
All right. I know we're way past our out, but whatever. I'm blaming it on you. Sorry, Jim Rome. I'm sure we'll start a little bit late.
We'll be fine.
Crossover question back to Jason and Doug. I'm really excited about this one, guys. George Karl, former Sacramento Kings coach, but also former Sonics coach, tweeted out a video yesterday, and it was a very young Los Angeles Lakery. We try to forget about this, but a very young Lakery, Doug Christie. I think it was Ricky Pierce or somebody. It was a tough foul, and Doug got in the fray. He actually started the fracas. But then Sean Kemp comes in and gets on Doug. And next thing you know, Sean Kemp lost it. And like Terry Stotts was helping to break it up, a young assistant, all this stuff. My question is this. Sean Kemp is a badass, and I would never want him angry at me. Doug, I know you're a tough guy. I know you got Rick Fox, but let's be honest. Rick Fox is a Hollywood actor. I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from the punch, but come on. Rick Fox, Sean Kemp, Rick Fox. Come on, dude. And we all know Sean Kemp can land shots. So here's my question. Doug, at any point when you got back to the locker room, were your drawers clean? I'm just asking, at any point, did you pause your anger and were you just a little bit, you can admit it now, a little bit like, uh-oh. Or not. I'm just curious as to what your mindset was long ago. For Matt George, thank you, Matthew. I appreciate you coming
in.
Good stuff. So did I. I am Carmichael Dave. Thanks to Dr. Richard Pan. Jim Rome is next. Sports 1140 KHDK. Great weekend. Bye-bye now.